The Reality is now on Patreon, and here are some of our fabulous supporters.
Jesse Willis.
I may not run in traffic, but I'll give you a run for your money.
Rhodey.
When you work in quality assurance, perfection comes easy.
Tori Tuchilo.
When Tori steps on the scene, you are his story.
Eugene Henderson.
In the game of life, I choose Jeopardy.
Maria M.
Where I come from, they sing God Save the Queen. The truth is, it's actually me.
Becca Simon.
If you can't stand the heat, come to Minnesota.
Jill Hirsch.
Your petty drama can't take this warrior down.
Jamie Allrunner.
Some people call me cold, but it's not me. It's that Minnesota weather.
Sarah Gibbs.
You may not like the cut of my jib, but that's what you get from Sarah Gibbs.
Richie D.
If you can't be cool, you can't be with Cadoos.
Megan Shaw.
I may be a model, but I'll never be your model minority.
Samaj Bledsoe.
The fun bus is here, and I'm driving on the Turnpike!
Eleanor Manning.
I run with a fabulous circle of people, and they're not even on my payroll.
Danny McLaughlin.
First, I came out, and now I'm coming for everything.
Kelly Paper.
I may be from down under, but don't ever underestimate me.
Seiran Hayati.
In Sweden, we have ABBA, IKEA, and if you mess with me, some other four-letter words.
Jessica Riley.
Where I come from, money can buy you anything, but I'll take the garbage plate.
Chastity Davis.
Don't be fooled by my name. The only thing I abstain from is your bullshit.
Sarah Watkins Bilstein.
Playtime is over. This mom means business.
Laura Zielinski.
Whether it's breast pumping or fist bumping, this mama brings the party.
Jill Walsh.
I made it up the hill myself, and I'll kick any jack off.
And finally, diamonds aren't a girl's best friend. John Friedman is.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That's Arthi.
That's Noor.
And you're listening to The Reality Is. You guys, I'm so excited because we have been trying to get our guest today on the podcast for a little bit, but she ghosted us like Ramona did at the Black Harlem night.
That
she
is
said she had vertigo.
Untrue. It is an unfortunate coincidence that I.
And she might walk out halfway through this party. She might walk out like Ramona. She might say that she has other parties to go to, other friends.
Don't forget that y'all dumped me first. Y'all dumped me the first time.
I know, we did. Yes, we did.
Third time's the charm.
Right, right. Okay.
Water under the bridge.
All right. Now, well, we're even now. But guys, we're so excited to have our friend Sonia Sells on the podcast today to talk about what a fantastic Sunday that we all had. Today's Monday when we're recording. Oh, bless up. You know what?
Yes.
You know what? Mary maybe didn't send Jesus for us, but I think that she did pray to Jesus.
No, Jesus was present throughout this. He was there. He was sitting right next to me on the couch watching. Jesus
sent him. Mary sent him to you.
We smoked a blunt. I could smell it.
Oh my god! If I'm telling you that, when I saw all those taglines, I'm scrolling through and I'm like, Jen is out of pocket. And then somebody was like, just keep going. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I got to Mary. And if I'm telling you, I was like wheeze crying for like 15. Because all of these women, like, they mean, you know, they have their taglines and they mean it. But like, Mary is being sincere when she like, there was never in the history of Housewives been somebody more sincere about a threat in a tagline than Mary saying she will send Jesus after you.
That was, like Noor said, that was a promise and a threat.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Oh, guys, I'm so excited to talk about the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City premiere today and Potomac, which Potomac was like, it was like a classically refreshing episode of Potomac where like people fought and then they meet up and it was just great. But before we get into those, Sonia, I want to know from you, who is your problematic favorite on Bravo?
So, I mean, like, from the short answer, like a lot of them, but like, I guess if I had to narrow down one, and I know she's not actively a housewife at the moment, but Miss Phaedra Parks for sure. Like, first of all, she's always been entertaining. From the beginning, she just came in lying. Just like she came out the bat, like pretending she couldn't do math.
She was like 22 months pregnant.
If Kim has to pull out her fake nursing degree to call you on your bullshit, then you know you're doing something right. And like the sip and see is an absurd concept. And really, just I think now a lot about like her read of Kenya. Mm-hmm. I think about it often because as an adult. As an adult, you're an adult. I'm like, that is cruel. Like, what she's saying is really cruel. And, like, karma really came back and got her. Like, you know, she stood, she was flew too close to the sun. But, like, God, is it still so good? Like, after all this time, it's still so entertaining. Just the succinctness. Like, it sounds like something, it's like a Shonda Rhimes show read, you know? Like, a designing women just decimating you. So, you know, and she's also got, like, two of the best kids that came out of the Bravoverse, I think. I love Lily.
They're so cute. That whole, even though it's, it's super cruel. It's not so nice. It's painful to think about the fact that this is actually being done to a real human being.
Yeah.
If you take that out of it and you do view it like a Shonda thing, it kind of like, it's like poetic. It's like a performance. It's like a performance. It's like a monologue that like I would like to see Cookie in another show.
It sounds like a Cookie monologue from
You should
Empire.
Read it. You should like, you know, audition with it. Like, I encourage that.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, I wonder if, I mean, I'm not an actor. None of us here
somebody
are.
Somebody should.
Somebody but somebody, to. Please, if you're an actor or and you need to audition, please audition with that read.
That's true. That's
that would be amazing.
Piece. That's a good piece to audition on. She was one of the early housewives who did it all. Who did every business under the sun. She was a lawyer. Her mother was a pastor. She was in funeral services. And she was doing everything under the sun. Everything that you could think of. She was like, I'm doing it. She's doing a booty video. She did everything.
Video.
And she and you know, she really was one of the first few that said, other than Bethany, I guess, who said that I'm going to take my fame and I'm going to start spinning out all these businesses.
Well, I feel like she was one of the first ones with like a real job, right? Like, she was the first one with like a job where we like kind of recognize, like, oh, this is a real thing that exists,
right?
And if you were representing Bobby Brown, like, you know, it's it's a real job, and it was accomplished. And then, like, the rest of her life was in shambles. So,
And tying it back to Salt Lake City, she was the first one to say she didn't know Nene went to the same school as her.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. Older. Like, that's what she said. Yeah, she was like, oh, she was there like way before I was.
Yeah.
What an asshole. I love her. She's a terrible. I mean, like, what she ultimately did, all of that is terrible. But like, if she hadn't made up those rumors, she'd still probably be with us today and we'd all be better for it. So
For sure. Well, let's talk about Real Housewives of Potomac first, because I feel like Salt Lake City is going to get so crazy that we're not going to have any time to talk about Potomac. So Potomac this week, we picked up right in this fight between Ashley and Candace. Now I need to ask you, Sonia, are you a candy gal?
So it's a loaded question, right? Because I was not for a very long time. Like, to me, her first couple seasons, I was like, you are just a cruel, cruel person. But having done a bit of a personal self-discovery journey, and this kind of overarches with Salt Lake City a little bit too, that I feel like Candace is what happens when you make somebody feel difficult their entire life, to the point that they start believing their own narrative. Yeah. So it's like a little bit, because the way she like will back down and will actually apologize and like will express after these fights, like, I really miss the relationship I had with this person, all of that stuff. And plus, like, obviously knowing her mother, it seems very clear. And honestly, Jen Shah is a little bit like this too, that it's like, all right, fine. You want this person? I'll be that person.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that informs a lot of her behavior. So I have empathy for her, but no. I forget. That's my long way of saying no.
All that to say, not a candy gal.
No. I think that's a good point. Candace is very much like Kenya too. Kenya is like that. Yeah. It's like mm-hmm. it's somebody who's been told that they're difficult, and so she brings it out. But deep inside, she's not a bad person per se.
Yeah,
but
definitely a very hurt person.
React a very hurt person, and then will react and be volatile.
Yeah, except I have more faith that, like...
Except that's not true for Jen, maybe.
No, okay. I think that, honestly, I think it's a little bit true for Jen. Like, I think that she's got... Well, we can talk about it during that time, mm-hmm. but I think she's gotten herself, obviously, involved in some very terrible things. But, like, I think that some of the way she, like, is very quick to explode, like, way too quick, and, like, mm-hmm. over-dramatizes the situation. It feels like, and the way she kind of retreats back, all of it comes down to feel like being made to feel, probably through a lot of their lives, like, I am the problem, because they probably were advocating for themselves or, like, tried to draw boundaries, so then they just internalize that. Now, all of that defensive... Candace, I don't think that Kenya is capable of being self-aware. I think that Candace, if she tried hard enough, could mellow out.
Mm-hmm. 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 Now, with this fight, what I love about Potomac is it was, like, so tense, the ending last episode, where they're like, oh, you brought your wide-bodied ass, and everyone's like, oh my God, she body-shamed her. And then they, like, cut back to it this episode. The fight is, like, about 24 seconds, and then it cuts to them just, like, eating.
Yeah.
That's what I love about these women and the women in Atlanta. Nothing comes between them and food. If there's food to be eaten, they're going to eat that.
That's true. That's true. We're here to eat.
I mean, Wendy came back after her big raid in the house. She came back, sat down, ate some, and took some more with her back to the house, back to the cottage.
Yeah,
she's not leaving food behind. And that's very Candy Burris-like.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Nobody in the history of Tauruses has ever Taurused harder than Candy Burris. So yeah, food is the priority always.
So they, like, they take a bite. Everybody takes, like, put some food in their bodies, and everybody calms down a little bit. But then even then, the banter between Ashley and Candace is so funny to me, because Candace is like, look, I'm not trying to body shame you. I'm just saying this is how we come for each other.
That, I feel like, was very clear. Like, everybody was like, oh, body shaming. I'm like, no, Candace literally just said that to piss her off. Like, I think that it really felt like I didn't hear that fight and think, like, oh, Candace actually thinks Ashley is, like, fat trying to get under his skin.
Yes.
He's like, oh, hey, I know you're postpartum. Let me say the thing that will be the most hurtful to you.
Yeah, and Ashley didn't get offended by it. Ashley saw it as an opportunity to get back at Candace. Like, oh, I'm going to use this and say that you are body shaming me.
Right, exactly.
I'm going to be like, pretend hurt about that.
Oh my God.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why, like, even Ashley goes, well, isn't that what you guys are saying that we're doing to Wendy by talking about her body? Like, so Ashley is only saying the words body shaming because they've obviously been talking about the conversations around Wendy and her new boobs and stuff. But then it's just so funny because how they talk to each other is this way. They do make fun. And we see this later on in the episode when they, like, begrudgingly say something kind about each other to their faces, but then in their confessionals are just, like, slamming each other the way they do, which is like, guys, this is what we watch the show for, is this type of banter between these two women. And I want to add, Ashley Darby makes fun of people's bodies and mental health all the time.
So that's why I don't think she's actually, to Ashley's credit, I feel like she's self-aware enough in terms of her reads that, like, she doesn't take anything personally because she's so willing to do it back. Mm-hmm. So, like, I think that's her fighting style, so she doesn't take anything seriously.
Yeah.
Also, as a biracial light skin with a big forehead, I've been feeling personally attacked by all of these big forehead comments.
It cracks me up because everybody's like, oh my God, how dare Candace say that about Ashley's forehead?
No, it's true. That's just...
And then they're like...
That's the curse of our people.
But then they go, Candace has a big forehead. And I'm like, oh, so your retaliation to Candace, quote unquote, body shaming Ashley is to then body shame Candace?
Yeah, because none of it is serious. They're just trying to say the meanest. Yeah. They're throwing spaghetti at the wall and seeing what sticks. Like, I'm going to say as many mean things as I can, and hopefully one of those things will actually hurt you.
Yeah, the only person who should be upset if somebody calls them forehead is Teresa Giudice and nobody else. There's
she doesn't have one.
Their forehead. It's a proper normal forehead.
Exactly. The big other thing this episode is obviously Karen, Grand Dame is filming a promo for Sir County, Virginia in Potomac, Maryland.
First of all, I feel a little bit like, I know we've had a lot of like cuckoos over the years, but I feel like in a lot of ways, Karen walked so Mary Cosby could fly in her spaceship off of this planet. Like,
I was like, Mary Cosby is sitting there crying that she has no one to talk to. Mary Cosby, meet Karen. She's like, that's who you're going to be in a few years.
The two of them? No, because I feel like Karen, like, at least has moments where she's, like, a little bit normal. Yeah. Mary's not capable. Like, no. There's nothing. No. So, like, Karen, like, anybody who looked at Karen and went, like, oh, God, I wish she was, like, a little bit weirder. Like, I love her weird moments. I wish there was more of that. May I introduce you to Mary Cosby?
Yeah, you know, we always say, I think, Arthi, you said it either last episode we talked about Potomac or the one before where you said that if Karen had the opportunity to be a first lady like Giselle was, mm-hmm. Karen would have, like, eaten it up. Mm-hmm. So I do feel like if Karen Huger, as the person that she is, was on the path of life as Mary Cosby, the result would be exactly the same.
Direct line to Jesus. Yes.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think the only thing keeping Karen somewhat grounded is the fact that she doesn't have a congregation to scream at.
Yes.
Exactly. Actually, speaking of church, though, like, I was dying that when they asked Karen, like, why aren't you filming it in Surrey County? Like, why are you filming it? But that she, first of all, that she did not have an answer. Like, they weren't going to ask. She, like, didn't have an answer ready. And then she gave the answer that I used to give to try to get out of church, which is, like, it's wherever I am. If God is everywhere, why do I have to go to church? to speak to him? And my mom would be like, nice try, get in the car. You know what I mean? Yeah. So she's like, Surrey County is wherever I am. And it's like, people in Surrey County are gonna notice.
Lunatic. So Karen did the whole the Mrs. Planter's peanuts.
Oh, she's like, oh my God. She's like, did you know that peanuts come in a shell?
Like, peanuts or ham?
Ma'am, we get it. You're from the country. Peanuts or ham? But, like, she really sat there and went, did you know, audience of America, that peanuts come in a shell? It's like, seen the Mr. Peanut. Yeah, we've been to a ground round. What's your point?
Yeah, and then she said, we have seafood on the water. It's like, okay.
That's where it comes from. Thank you. I love that she's just lying. Like, she's just on television being like, I lied.
Yeah.
I think the city council of Potomac watched it and said, oh, good. That's why we didn't hire her to talk about Potomac.
Okay, but have you seen the promo?
Of Surrey County? Yeah, yes. The actual promo? Oh, yeah.
No.
It's great.
Oh, I'm sure.
So awesome.
Did they use the slide scene or no?
They didn't.
So then she put it out on Instagram that was practice.
Right.
But interstitial, she said that we didn't go down there because we didn't want to take the crew and everything. It would have been expensive to drive all the way down to Surrey County for that. But she did go to get her award.
Right. Every time she has to go down there.
Keys to the city or whatever.
She has to go down there to pick up her annual, like, best person to come out of Surrey County.
Yeah. Like, you know, boy peanuts.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, I just loved it.
She's so perfectly delusional that she's too perfect.
Yeah.
She's too perfect.
She
makes such great TV. I would watch a show just focused on Karen and her delusions.
Yeah. Right.
She's like Don Quixote.
Okay, here's
like she's so
here's my pitch. Here's my pitch. Enjoy. This is gonna be the best show ever created. Just watch. A road trip. And we can cast other people. Like, it's like a house.
Like, think Oprah and Gil road trip?
Yes, but okay, just wait for it. Okay. So we've got this now, like Housewives All-Stars, Real World, if you will. Now, the Road Rules version of that, so far, we've got Karen and Mary Cosby, like Simple Lifestyle, like traveling the country. Could you imagine? Who else is crazy enough? Awesome. Like, you throw Shannon Bedore or somebody in there.
Shannon would lose her mind.
Oh, my God. That would be so awesome. Just them trying to fill gas in their cars.
Oh, my God. Oh. So confused. All of them.
That would be awesome.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Get at me with incredible. Your casting for, like, the Looney Birds.
Throw in a Sonia who wants to pee on the side of the road every few minutes.
Sonia's going to bring diapers for everyone. Oh, yeah. She's like, this is not my first van ride.
Because she'd be like, but like, I hate to say it, but like, in that instance, like, Sonya would be the voice of reason, which I guess if you're going to have a cuckoo voice of reason, that's the one.
No, but Sonya gets, if you keep her in a closed environment for too long, Sonya goes nuts.
That's true.
So yeah. She would be like, she'll be good for the first 2 hours of the ride, but after that, she's going to go nuts.
I just like, yes. Now I'm picturing too, like, Sonya trying to like relate to Mary about like trying to be like a good ally and like being supportive. And Mary's like, surprise, I hate black people too. So
like, Sonya and Mary would be like, Sonya smells like poop and old pickles and olive oil from the basement.
This whole time, like, please clarify to the people that you're referencing Sonya with a J and not Sonya that you're speaking
to. Not you.
Out of context.
Sonya with diapers. Also, I feel like, yeah, Mary Cosby's like olfactory senses are way too high for Sonya Morgan to be anywhere near her. But I was just thinking about like Mary Cosby and Karen Huger, and it's almost like, you know, those like chaotic neutral, chaotic good type situations. It's like she's just chaotic evil, Mary Cosby.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Whereas Karen is the chaotic good. I don't know who chaotic neutral would be.
I would say she's a little bit more. Yeah, I guess she's leaning more towards good.
Maybe Luann? I don't know.
I don't know.
Is this where I get to throw in my anecdote that like Luann was almost my Luant-in-law?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Please do. Tell everybody.
All right. So I started dating. When I started dating my husband, his mom, like I forgot how it came up that I like reality TV. And his mom was like, oh, by the way, my brother used to date one of the women on Real Housewives of New York. And I was like, excuse me? She's like, oh, yeah, they were engaged. Luann? And I'm like, yeah, I'm familiar with Luann. Like,
yeah, I know Luann.
Right, like, I know Luann. So there's pictures that like she, because it's my husband's god, like his uncle, his godfather, and there's like a picture of like Luann holding my husband as an infant on his christening. And they still, like, she still has her old, like, comp card from her modeling days. And apparently, like, I don't know if this is like too much tea or not, but like
this was before the count.
Oh yeah, so she apparently like called him and was like, I don't know if I should marry this guy, the count.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was their weird story. And so, and like, I didn't, not that I didn't believe it, but like I didn't think she still thought about it until a friend of mine went to her cabaret and was like, oh, what was the last name? And I was like, I said the last name, and she was like, oh my god, she brought it up when she was reading her diaries, because her daughter's name is Victoria and the last name rhymes with Vicky. So she's like, oh, it would be weird if the name was Vicky. Nope, just kidding. But like, you know, the like whatever. And I was like, oh yep, that's my husband's uncle.
Oh my god. What if they rekindle?
Well, he's dead.
Oh no.
I'm not laughing that he's R.A.P. dead. So it's right, but yeah.
Well, so, well, they can reconnect in heaven.
Anyway, Real Housewives of Potomac.
Okay. So we also saw this like really quite moving, I mean, I'm on my period, so I cried, conversation where Wendy is having with her kids about BLM, about police brutality, about the Chauvin trial. And it was just, it destroyed
my soul. How they got through that conversation without crying, especially because like it wasn't just like the talking about it in general has to be difficult.
Yeah. But when a child asks you that question,
especially because the question was like, if a police officer sees me, will he know that I'm not a bad guy? And I'm like, that, like, how do you even answer that? Especially to a little kid, but like, oh my god.
You know, the internet is a terrible place, especially Twitter. And so Twitter's like, Wendy had this like staged conversation with her child. And I was like, well, first of all, fuck everybody. Fuck every one of you. Giselle keeps having a million staged conversations with her daughters, where even this episode where she sits down and she's like, so, you know, dad and I aren't together. And Grace and the twins are looking at each other, like stifling their smiles, like, come on, mom.
Those are, like, they're like,
don't have these
kids.
Fake conversations
like,
with us.
The three of them are like, what's that one daughter from Reba? I can't think of her name. Like, the one daughter from Reba that, like, does not let her rest. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's literally just those girls do not let her rest. But yeah, no, like, it's not, I mean, not that I'm, you know, not that this is news. to anybody listening to this particular podcast, but like, no, that's a real conversation. And of all the times that I feel like they'll have to force some of these issues to be on camera, like, I think that they're conversations that are happening, but like the decision to have it on camera is purposeful. But like this one was very much like, not just like, let me show you what as Black parents we need to do with our children, but it was like very, I feel like, kind of informational to the audience that like you're hearing a kid participate in it. Like, it was, calling it a smart move sounds cynical, but like, I don't mean it like that. Like, it was important that they did that.
Yeah.
The one line she said that I feel like I'm going to take into my own parenting journey at some point: I never want them to find answers outside the four walls of our home.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, like in Beverly Hills, we saw Garcelle say that these are conversations that I need to have with my Black sons. These are conversations that Black people have with their children. Mm-hmm. And it was like, we all talk about these like abstract conversations that people need to have, and oh, the talk, but Bravo rarely ever has this talk. The only other time we've seen it is in Southern Charm New Orleans, which is a show that should come back.
Married to Medicine as well. With all of their kids. But in Married to Medicine, the kids were a little bit older.
Yeah.
So the way they expressed it was a little bit more nuanced, and they were like careful how they spoke. But in Wendy's case, the child was so innocent, and he was like literally asking, will the cop know that I'm not a bad guy? How will they know? He was almost asking, like, what do I do to make sure this doesn't happen to me? It was even more heartbreaking for me to hear it from the little ones.
Yeah.
Than it was from the older kids in Married to Medicine.
Oh, for sure. Especially because it came from such a place of, like, his response to that was, like, basically, like, I'm going to do what Martin Luther King did and, like, world, like, you know, like, everybody will like everybody. And I'm like, God, that is like a baby. Like, you have to explain this to a very little kid. And, you know, it just really makes you reflect on the fact that, like, people say, you know, oh, well, like, kids are too young to learn about, like, critical race theory and all that shit. And then it's like, well, the rest of, you know, like, plenty of kids have been called the N-word by that age. Plenty of kids, you know what I mean? Like, it's other kids don't get to be shielded from that. So, sorry.
Yeah,
by that time, most brown and black kids have already know that they are other.
Yeah.
They are not the same. And they don't have the same privileges as some of their neighbors and classmates. So by that time, it's important that they understand where all of that is, those feelings are coming from and how to overcome those feelings.
Yeah. And maybe these are not words that a typical child might be saying to their parent, but these are definitely feelings that these kids are having.
Yeah. He was probably a little bit more articulate than a child of that age would be, but the way he articulated that was very innocent and very
well. I mean, he's the child of like what does Eddie do? Is he a lawyer?
He's a lawyer.
Like, like he's a child of two lawyers. Like,
yeah.
Of course, he's gonna say things like much more articulately. Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was like incredible. Like, how they got through that without crying is probably what made it look staged to people. Right. Like,
if that felt staged and weird to you, you can go fuck yourself.
Well, yeah.
The other big thing that happened this episode is obviously this goddess party that Mia throws in the middle of a park.
She loves a picnic, huh?
She loves a picnic, this Mia.
So she loves making these women walk over like little bridges.
In their heels. Please dress up. I'm going to make it an obstacle course.
Please dress up. We're going to go to a dirty park. Come inside, sit in this dirty gazebo, and sit on cushions. Because later on, like, they're having all these conversations. I posted this on Instagram, but it cuts to, like, Giselle and Karen are arguing, and it cuts to the whole table, and Robin, who looks fucking stunning in that blue dress, is sitting up like she's squatting.
Yeah.
She's squatting, and it looks like either she's airing out her dress or she's like stretching out her limbs or she's maybe pooping. I'm not sure.
She's definitely stretching. I bet that they sat there for a long time cross-legged and they weren't used to it. And she was like, I need to stretch.
Didn't think the camera would catch
it. The other thing was Robin was wearing a much more form-fitting dress. So maybe I was like, maybe she was trying to sit down. She was like trying to angle herself.
That's true. Yeah.
But Mia throws this party to make everybody sit around and compliment each other. Weirdly, it works.
I was like, Mia, okay, you've done your job. I mean, I thought Mia for first season Housewife had a memorable scene. And this was a good scene where she brought everybody together and made them talk.
I literally could not disagree more. I can't. Like, I don't get if you had the choice, like, literally, I was been complaining about the fact that Escala is not it, and my husband's like, maybe she, like, didn't fill out the paperwork on time. I go, that's not how it works, but, like, thank you for trying. Like, that's why she got demoted to friend of. She's, like, you know, like, she's on the wait list to become, like, a housewife of Potomac. Mm-hmm. But, like, I just, I don't see it for Mia at all. And
I said for the first time housewife, this was a good try. She did.
No, but, like, I feel like it just, it was totally in line with, like, how Mia in every fight just seems to pick the wrong side, but then flip-flop. Like, whoever's the wrongest in that moment, like, that's who Mia's going to side with. And not, like, I think she thinks she's being a devil's advocate, but she's actually just dumb. But, like, I think that this was sort of that decision. Like, any normal person trying to earn their spot in a future season or trying to become legendary status would be like, I'm having this so they can compliment each other so they can fight. She's just like, I think that we should all just try to build bridges. Like, sincerely, well, try to build a bridge to a gazebo. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it all just was so... It was so dumb. Like, it was so annoying. Like, I just.
Well, even everybody is annoyed by it. But it did look like a very, like, early seasons Potomac gathering. Because you remember Giselle used to have those, like, lunches.
Yeah.
Where she would bring all the ladies together and she'd do, like, the first lady thing.
This is etiquette era. Yeah, this is the era Potomac.
Exactly, exactly. I did love the fact that Candace straight up was like, yeah, everybody's invited to the video shoot except for Ashley. And Ashley was like, yeah, it's
Giselle
fine.
Understood the assignment, like, queen of understanding the mess assignment. Like, she's like a Sally Jesse Raphael in there, just, like, trying to throw in barbs. She's like, but not Ashley, though, right? And, like, the problem is the two of them are just so resigned to not liking each other. They're both like, yeah, I wasn't invited. And Ashley's like, I wouldn't want to be invited. We don't like each other. Like, everybody's like, God, Giselle, keep up. Like,
I love that. I actually love that about Ashley and Candace is that do sort of, they're like baby Giselle and Karen to me. They have that same sort of like animosity against each other, except it does seem like Karen and Giselle maybe at some point do have a friendship, but the way that they come for each other, like even right now when like this episode where Giselle and Karen are quote unquote apologizing to each other about nonsense, it's like you roll the footage and it's like she did this and she did this and she did this. It's like Giselle's like, she brought, you know, so much pain to my daughters and all this shit because of the reunion. But it's like, but Giselle, you stood in a lobby in where were there, France, and said something like,
Ray
wants to like lick Erica Lyle up and down some random woman.
Yeah. Right. You all have enough. There's no point in trying to keep score because you all have just said the most out of pocket. Like, actually, like, and I guess it's just like probably not to be like an asshole, but like an age thing that like they're actually throwing barbs that are like genuinely hurting each other. Whereas like Candace and Ashley are just like, I'm going to say this first thing that pops into my head. So like, I don't think they take it seriously, but like Karen and Giselle, it's like, I got so tired of hearing about the fights because it's like, what are you even still like? Just say that you don't like each other. Like, why are you trying to keep score about all this petty shit? Like, it's exhausting.
Well, this is Giselle's problem because even when it comes to Wendy, Giselle still wants to make it like, I care about you, Wendy. That's why I was asking. It's like, Giselle, stop. You don't care about Wendy. You don't care about her family.
She like said, oh, you know, like, oh, I didn't realize you'd want to get pulled to the side. You pulled Robin to the side that same weekend.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Like, like, oh, that's, I mean, like, I guess that's something I'd do for a friend. You literally did it. Like, you, like, what perfect demonstration that you don't actually see Wendy as a friend than the fact that we watched you, like, take that level of care. I mean, obviously, her and Robin have, like, a very different relationship.
Yeah.
But, like, there is literal evidence that you are capable of doing that. You just chose not to.
Yeah. And there was an ADR moment. So it sounded like Giselle, they had like Giselle audio dubbed over the scene where she was like, oh, I couldn't come up to Wendy because she was being so defensive the whole time about everything else. And we pointed this out before, which is that Giselle had ample opportunity before Ashley got there to talk to Wendy. In fact, there's a scene where Giselle and Robin are sitting and talking about Eddie and Wendy walks in. She could have talked to her about it then. She could have talked to her about it at any given moment and she did not. She chose to wait until Ashley came, gave Ashley the bombs and said, here you go, enjoy yourself. And then Ashley did.
I also wonder how much of that decision was having an audience, like knowing that she would have people back her up. Like, I think like having other people, knowing other people would be like loudly agreeing because she's talked about it with enough people that she would have enough people that like she would win by numbers. Because if she had that conversation one-on-one with Wendy, Wendy would be like, fuck off. You know what I mean? But like, because then it became like a pile on, then Wendy looked crazy.
Yeah, this is something that housewives do too, because there's somebody, one person has an issue, they will first socialize it with a couple of other
testing housewives. The waters, right?
So then they can say, it's not just me, everybody feels that way. Beverly Hills, they do the same thing. It's like, it's not just me, everyone says that you are being this way. So that gives them somehow, that makes it more credible.
Either way, I love it. I love the fact that everybody fake squashes stuff in Potomac and then just plays dirty the rest of the time. This is why I love them, because they fight, they fake makeup, and then they keep eating.
Right. And then they just keep fighting about the same shit. Like, oh, yeah, no, like, I forgive you, I'm over it. And then they'll be fighting about the exact same thing a couple.
Yeah. And also, might I remind everybody again, this is just another example of Ashley and Candace coming for each other about a variety of things. But Ashley also keeps calling Candace a hamster. So, like, it's also not great, right? So everybody just relax with the women are shaming each other.
Right.
Women can continue to shame each other if they want to. What's actually worse is when Michael Darby tells Ashley that she's maybe not whatever.
Electric chair. I hate that man. Like, I hate him. Like, just what a villain. Truly the villain of the franchise. He is.
All right, let's talk about, speaking of terrible and villains, let's talk about Salt Lake City. This premiere was electric, ladies. It was amazing. I mean, this opening with the beauty lab and Jen Shaw just barely fleeing on foot from the feds.
I get chills every time.
Yeah, I cannot wait for the actual footage of the whole thing.
My God, the fact that this is like a teaser of what happens and then did that.
Right, this is not even the whole thing. This is a teaser.
Right, this is why this way to start a season was invented. Like, normally they have to like pull something, like some stupid, like throwing glass at each other at a party kind of thing. But this is like a legit, like, this is what this format was invented for. A moment like this.
The first time this ever they did this format, by the way, was, and I feel very, very proud of it because of where I'm from, but this was for the christening.
That's right, it was.
Yes.
Never forget.
My full body, I just got full body goosebumps.
Me too. About the christening. I love it.
Hey, was that christening at Rails?
No.
It wasn't at Rails.
I'm going to look it up now because I know where it is.
It was another classic North Jersey establishment.
So I'm like watching Sopranos at the same time too. So like, I feel like it's like I do a lot of the same thing on both shows. Just like looking up locations.
If you go back and watch Sopranos, you almost feel like Teresa and Joe are going to like pop up in one of the scenes. I half expect Caroline to pop up in a Sopranos scene.
But that's like, you laugh, but like really North Jersey is dead ass like that.
I lived with Soprano families. When I first came to this country, I lived with families that were connected to the mafia and I rented a room with them.
Love that for you.
I was just at Rails this weekend and I was like, I saw so many Juicy Joe types with Teresa types and it made me really happy. I was like, I'm home.
How it works. Right, exactly.
Well, okay, so Real House is a Salt Lake City. What a detour we just took. Now, do you think the helicopter that we saw in the beginning of this episode was actually there for Jen Shaw, or do you think that was editing magic? Because I was like, why is there a helicopter here?
I mean, it could be, but like, it's the feds.
You think the feds rolled through with a helicopter?
Why the fuck not?
I hope so. I want them to.
The Housewife Task Force Brigade. Like,
I feel like the feds were like, this is very cut and dry. Okay, they're filming a show. It's like the easiest thing for us. We're just going to show up. We're going to call production. We're going to say,
I'm pretty sure Bravo even had an arrangement with the feds to say that we will be there and you will let us ask questions and take some footage of this. And if you do that, then we'll let you know where Jen is.
Okay, do you think that the helicopter was Bravo?
Probably. It was like Andy Cohen.
in the helicopter.
It was Andy up in the helicopter.
My only beef with that beginning is that I wish that Mary was there. Could you imagine if Mary was on that bus?
No.
Love that.
I just can't imagine Mary on a bus. Like, I
just... Has Mary ever been on a bus?
No.
I wonder, how does Mary travel?
She teleports.
Yeah. Maybe she was in the helicopter.
Mary was in the helicopter. Yeah, no, honestly, that's Mary getting dropped off for the bus.
She's like, buses are too smelly for me. I can't go in buses. It's
like, Mary, this is a chartered bus. It doesn't matter.
No. She's like, no, I will fly in.
Yeah.
Then we go to this 2 months earlier bit. We see that Jen Shah has changed her evil lair to a new chalet that she's renting, brought to us by somebody's grandmas and grandpas.
By somebody's Airbnb.
Yeah, pretty much.
And I was so happy the producers did what they did with Erica Jane, which was like, show all of her clothing, all of her shoes, how she spent all the money. And Jen gave us so much ammunition for later. She was like saying everything that she said, this has so many amenities. And then she's talking about all of the shoes and how they were so amazed. They had never seen a closet like this.
It was really sweet of her. She basically itemized everything for the feds. She was like, here's the thing.
Like, right. Just made it very easy. Like, hi, this is where I keep all of my shoes.
See, and this is where the genius of Mary comes in. Mary Cosby, nothing is itemized. Mary Cosby can only find her own stuff in her own closet.
Closets, plural. Like a closet she's never actually, she's got closets full of stuff she's never actually stepped foot in. Like,
correct.
Lisa Barlow visits Jen. She says she loves everything as usual.
I love that.
And we find out that Coach filed for divorce against Jen 6 months ago.
I don't love that.
I love that.
I don't love that.
I love it. I love it a little bit. But what also weirdly bringing Sopranos back, like my first thought, where she was like, he met with attorneys. I'm like, yeah, because I learned from Sopranos, if you think you're going to get divorced, you meet with all the local divorce attorneys. Mm-hmm. That way they can't take on your spouse.
Yes. So that's what she had done, because if he contacted an attorney, the attorney would never call the spouse to let them know that the husband called them. Unless that person was a friend of hers and she had contacts and she had already talked about it. And then the attorney was like, by the way, your husband also reached out, he's looking to divorce you.
She was served.
I don't think she was served. She said an attorney called her and let her know.
But
that
also,
her
that could be Jen speak for. That could be Jen speak for.
Jen speak for attorney told me that my husband was looking to file.
Oh.
Nothing was like filed. It felt like somebody was contacting her and telling her that Coach was looking to file. But also, how sad for Coach that he could have gotten away with it.
Okay.
He could have gotten out of this mess.
That's what I think, though. Because she's they're like, why did he file? And she's like, oh, you know, it's my antics. I'm like, bitch, it is the fact that your husband, somebody told your husband, by the way, the feds have been investigating your wife for like 18 months. And it's about to go down, so you better get out. Like, I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
Also, I think that, like, he doesn't really like her. And, like, I think it was one thing. I think it was, like, one thing when they were just, like, two married people. And it's like, oh, that's just my, like, kooky wife. But it's another thing that now she has to perform for an audience. And that's, like, amping her up more. Like he doesn't like, I mean, not that I think he's so great, but like I don't think that he likes the person she's becoming, because like literally she said that like he wanted to divorce her because he felt like he couldn't help her. It's like, so he treated you like he's dropping a client.
Yeah
Which I will never be over that he didn't go to the father's funeral.
Well, we find out at the reunion what it was.
Wait,
we found out at the reunion that basically her father was only responsive to Coach. Anytime when he was in hospice, he was only responsive to Coach, and Coach had to go away. And the weekend that he was gone is when the father died. So Jen believes that her husband not being around is why her father died.
So she's blaming her father's death on Coach not being there.
But like, that's because she's irrational. And like, instead of just being I don't know.
Yes. She also says that divorce is frowned upon in Islam, and that's why they're trying not to get divorced. And I was like, no. Mm-mm. It's very easy for people to get divorced in Islam, especially for men. I just hate that Jen keeps bringing up Islam as like an accessory, the same way that she likes to associate with blackness, like it's an accessory.
Oh my God. Yeah. I was going to say, so much of this reads so much like I'm black by association.
Absolutely.
Like, I know she's told, well, didn't she actually say to Mary, like, I feel like I'm blacker than you or something like that? Like, or am I making that up? Like,
I don't know if she said it, but that sounds like something she'd say.
Right. Like, the braids when she's getting arrested are, like, enough.
Oof,
that I was just like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. Like, I don't know what. But can you guys, like, you guys are so much more involved in this space than I am. Can you explain Lisa and Jen's friendship to me because I don't understand it all.
Yeah, I would love to talk about this. Oof. Okay.
I genuinely like can't make sense of it. Okay.
Nora has a whole theory.
I'm so excited.
Okay,
to hear it.
So I think that Lisa Barlow is somebody who wants to be beloved by everybody.
I love that.
Okay. So just like she loves that, she wants everybody to look at her and say, I love that. Because when she goes to meet up with Jen, she's like, oh, yay, Jen Shaw. Like, I think Lisa sees some of what you talked about earlier, right? Which is that if you tell somebody that they're trash long enough, they start to act like trash. And maybe they just need a friend. So I think that Lisa sees some of that. But also, I think that she is trying to, like, I don't want to say she's trying to, like, be woke. But later on in the episode, when she's talking to Meredith about Jen, she's like, no, don't you understand? Like, she's so hurt. Like, she's so hurt. There's a reason, her background, that's why she's like this, like her history. Like, she keeps talking about Jen's history and Jen's background. And I think that Lisa believes in her mind that Jen Shaw is the way she is because of cultural reasons, because it's also what Jen sold Lisa last year after they went to Vegas. Okay. She was like, oh, you know how I was raised and being a person of color around white people and blah, blah, blah. And it's like the Polynesian community that Jen belongs to is actually really beloved by the Mormon church. So growing up in Utah, and while I'm sure she faced some discrimination, they were widely accepted, more so than black people were.
Yeah.
In the Mormon church. So,
because God only changed his mind in 1978. Thank you, Book of Mormon. That's like one of my.
Yeah, but it's like.
She's like, they only changed their mind in the 70s. I go, 1978, God changed his mind about black people. Black people. I am a Mormon. Sorry.
So like Jen, I feel like she's co-opting ideas from people of color. From black people specifically who have faced racism in a way to explain away her bad behavior. And that is why Meredith keeps being like, it's not an excuse. It's not an excuse for her to keep behaving this way. And I think that there's a little bit of like subtext that we're missing here. And I think some of that is that Lisa, I think, is aware of like what it might look like for all of the white women to not support this Asian woman on TV. And I think that that's why Lisa is so defensive of Jen. I think that there's a little bit of like giving benefit of doubt to an immigrant or a person of color or somebody who's different than us white women. I think that she's aware of that.
Okay.
Which is also why Lisa was so buddy-buddy with Mary Cosby last year.
And the way she's introducing Jenny Doyce.
Yup. Because like I could tell, like I felt very like it's sincere, but like a little bit like... I've got an Asian friend,
story.
Everybody. Right. They don't
Jenny,
know.
Tell us your story. Tell us about your boy.
Isn't
tell
she
us
so about cute? Like, with her little accent. Oh, like, that's how it feels.
Yeah. Jenny used to be poor. It's like okay.
Do you guys believe she came over here in a boat?
Yeah. It's very much like being propped up by, you know, your white friend of like, look at her. She barely even has an accent. And you're I'm a person.
So this is something that as brown women, especially as Indian women, I experience with a lot of the eat, pray, love kind of people. People who approach India and everything India as a person, and they start talking about their spiritual journey.
Oh my God. Oh,
like,
yeah.
That's, yeah. I'm not sitting here. I'm not wearing my turban and giving you a sermon about how you should live your life. I am as messed up as you are. Mm-hmm. And I'm eating, praying, and loving, and not getting anywhere. So that is, you know, it's not, you know, just because your spiritual journey went through Julia Roberts and went through India doesn't mean that me being born there, I'm on a higher plane all of a sudden. And now you're talking to me about that, but that's all you can talk about with me because that's how you identify with me. So I think that's the kind of feeling I got when she started talking about Jenny and about immigration and about refugees and what she went through and all of that. It's like, here's an exotic friend of mine that you should get to know because this is so exciting. I have a friend like that. And it's exciting that I am friends with her and we bump bellies and now we are besties.
Right. Like, that was a cute story. But then, like, the rest of it felt like, and I mean, for all the reasons that, like, Housewives have been brought into the show in terms of casting, like, this one certainly seemed the most sincere. The boys do genuinely seem like friends. But I mean, like, I've very much been on the same side of that as, like, an approachable kind of black because I grew up in white spaces and I am half white, but it's kind of like you know, like the amount mm-hmm. of like emotional dumping that people felt the need to do on me, like listing mm-hmm. their resume and their guilt like last June, just because like I get it and I like, but not make them feel yeah. bad about it, which is like, do you know me at all? Like, you know what I mean? Like people just love to have the like, or just tell me about like their niece who's mixed and like what she's going through. Like, you know what I mean? Like I become the advice source, which is
correct. Yeah. So it's yeah. not, it's well-meaning.
Oh, for sure.
But it gets tiresome at some point.
It's well-meaning, but it's still a microaggression.
Yes, it is.
Oh, for sure.
Yes, it is. Yes,
it is.
I'm just laughing at the thought of, like, Lisa's, like, the kind of white person that you could just, like, make up a slang term for, or, like, in your case, like, a word in another language, and she'd, like, go around saying it, be like, my friend taught me this. I'm very cool.
Oh, my
like,
God, I'm very yes.
Like, I mean, I've never done that, but hypothetically, she's somebody you could do that to.
Okay, I think 20 years ago, Lisa Barlow went on vacation and came back with braids.
Yes.
100%. Sure. Lisa Barlow went to the Jersey Shore and got henna tattoos.
Yeah. No, it's sort of in her background too, right? Because she came to Utah and converted to Mormonism. And right. she takes that on a lot. I think she wants to belong. I feel like sometimes Lisa doesn't quite belong anywhere. And so she was like trying to
Well, that
belong.
Was her story, right? That like her mom yeah. wanted to try out. Well, so I guess that explains a lot, right? Like if she grew mm-hmm. up in a home where they were just trying on different religions yes. until they found something yes. that fit. Like, of course they're going to see any culture like that. Yeah. Like, oh, we're just going to yeah. try this out for a little while. See how it fits. Like, yeah. see how I mesh with it. And it's like, surprise, yeah. you don't.
Yeah, like, I feel like if Lisa's mom was approached by, like, somebody who was like, want to go to an ashram, she'd be like, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
let's try that out.
Is that diet coke there? That's all. I think you give Lisa a diet coke, she'll be fine. But having said all of that, last year when she first came on, I did not like Lisa so much. I found her very annoying and very trying. But this year, I almost was looking forward to Lisa scenes. I don't know why. I think it might have been because of you, Noor, because I felt like I could see the comedic potential in having yes. Lisa as a housewife. Yes. I started seeing her more of a housewife character
yes.
than a person, and getting annoyed with her. I was like, yeah, this is who Lisa is. This is how she's going to behave. On the flip side, I liked Whitney Rose last year. Mm-hmm. And this year, I wasn't looking forward to that a lot. I'm like, I don't want to see you and your annoying husband, and I don't want to see that.
Yeah.
That's, like, isn't that, like, Chelsea said that last episode, right? Like, where yeah. she was just like, you know, everybody's second season. Like, I feel like all the things you may have liked or not liked about them last
yes,
season
right,
are exactly
right.
what you're going to feel the opposite about this season. And I felt yes. exactly that way.
I was like, Whitney, okay, so you have, like, grown up stepkids. Your husband has kids.
She's, like, leaning
but
into
for
the
them
stepmom
to keep calling
porn.
Them stepmom. That's the same age as you almost.
That's And you can and, see her husband was weirded out by it, too.
Well, I think she's really leaning into being,
a
like,
porn
a hot
stepmom?
Young thing.
Like, a, yeah, like literally a, from, like, a stepmom from porn. Which,
yes,
you know,
a porn stepmom. Mm-hmm. Porno stepmom. Which is, like, fine. I'm, like, totally fine right. with it. I know a lot of people were really weirded out by, like, her bouncing around in a bikini in front of her, like, stepsons. But I don't think she really cares. And I don't think the sons care. I mean,
they, like, probably look at her like, oh, she's a beautiful woman. But I don't think that they're secretly, like, lusting after her. Like, they all look
no.
very tired of her, honestly.
They yeah, they do look very
and she's
tired
like,
of
they
her.
Look up to me. It's like, no, they don't. No. Like, they see, yeah. if I can do it, like, well, who, the 28-year-old? You guys are peers, not mentors. You're
yeah.
a mentor.
Yeah, exactly. If I can do it with, like, my rich husband funding me, anybody can do it. It's like, yeah. Okay, can we talk about the fact that Whitney Rose is probably connected to an MLM and her shoe is about to drop in, like, two seasons? Like, Justin, is that her husband's name? Justin?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He is connected to MLMs, and now there's that, like, Lula Rich or Lulu
Oh,
Rich
yeah, yeah, yeah. About- Did you watch any of that?
I haven't. I know that there's, like, an MLM documentary.
I watched, like, 1.5 episodes, but it's honestly very good. Very enjoyable.
It's giving me a lot of those feelings, and honestly, I'm just excited to be here on this journey with her early mm-hmm. on, because I do yeah. think that's where it's headed.
Yeah.
Now, I did want to point out that Jen Shah did tell Lisa Barlow that she would go to jail for her, so that's great yeah. for Lisa. Everybody loves Lisa.
Yeah.
Because Lisa just has that effect. I don't
and
know.
Then she wonders who tipped off the feds.
Oh.
It's Lisa.
Could you imagine? Maybe there's a piece that you, because I was thinking about what you asked about why their friendship is the way there is. There are some rumblings on the internet where I think this is where the plot line is going, that Lisa may have worked with Jen in some business capacity,
yeah,
which is why she is being so kind to Jen.
Or at least in the beginning.
I feel like the opposite would be true.
Really?
I would think the opposite would be true, that she would be distancing herself.
She does. Eventually, she does distance herself. But in the beginning, when all of this hadn't gone down, when she was just meeting Jen at her house, she's very kind to Jen. Mm. And that's probably because they were partnered up.
I feel like that would make her look worse. Like, that's, you don't want to be associated with that. Like, from the get-go, like, if you think that something sketchy is going on, wouldn't you want, I don't know.
But I don't know if Lisa thinks that there's something sketchy going on. I think Lisa
knew at that point.
Lisa's a lot of things. She's not dumb.
I don't think she's dumb, but I think that she is somebody who is always looking to network. Like, you know that she's looking at a network. She's somebody who's like, I'll hobnob and rub elbows with a couple of people and see who I can sell my liquor to.
Right.
Type of a person. I mean, I don't think that she was involved with Jen in any deep sense, but I wouldn't be surprised if there was some like discussion about it there. But
well, maybe she's got her she's big got
account,
connect.
Big order account.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Because these are like, Heather said last season at the reunion that they went to like some fancy parties in Vegas. And, you know, there were all these people they were hobnobbing with. I'm sure that Lisa probably was like, let me try to sell my liquor to these people that you know.
Oh, yeah.
You course. Know, so.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Meredith, this season, her second season, she's really found her voice to some degree, however loud Meredith can get. You know, people are really hard on Meredith, but I love her. I think she's a weirdo, and I kind of enjoy
it. She is a weirdo.
She's grown on me, certainly. Mm-hmm. Like, I think now, I guess, like, seeing that all of these people, like, weren't really just putting on for a first season, like, this, they've kind of been consistent enough, which is, I feel like, kind of rare for a second season.
But when Meredith first came last year, I thought that she was guarded and was not speaking up enough or wasn't saying what she wasn't in her mind. And this season, I'm like, this is all she has to say. She has that way of talking, which is very flowy, and she will talk sideways and nod ahead and close her eyes for dramatic effect, and all of which I thought was artificial last year, that she was putting it on.
Right.
And this year I'm like, oh, that's her. And so I'm okay with
her. Yeah.
So I'm okay with her.
And I think that she's got a point where she's really fighting for her family, and her anger against Jen Shaw is completely warranted. She keeps saying that it's because of what Jen said about Brooks. But also, let's not forget that Jen multiple times last season brought up on camera to other women that Meredith was going through a separation with her husband and potentially had a boyfriend. So, like, I do think that Meredith is not saying that out loud, because it's probably hard for her to keep bringing that up. Like, oh, yeah, me and my husband were going through blah, blah, blah. So it's probably why she won't say it. And now she's saying the Brooks thing. But there's now a lot of debate of whether or not Meredith has a right to be mad at Jen about the stuff that Jen is liking and retweeting. And I'm like, why is this even a fucking debate? Like, are we so gone as a people that we would think that this is even worth debating?
Because Meredith is making that the debate.
But Meredith isn't making it a debate. Lisa is making it a debate. Meredith is very straightforward to be like, what she did to Brooks is fucked up.
But that brings it back to why Lisa is doing it, because she knows that that is the connection and that is her storyline, is making sure that Lisa, like you said, is...
She
wants to be liked, but also she wants to play the Real Housewives game, and she realizes that just having just Jen in her corner is not enough.
Oh no.
So she needs to bridge into Meredith's too, so she's trying to keep that storyline going.
And plus, like, the being the person who's the mediator and the peacemaker, like, is intended to make you look good. It doesn't always work out that way, but like, it's hard to argue with the fact that she's trying to build the bridge. I mean, we all had our thoughts about Brooks, but once we all, like, I don't know, maybe because I like try to be a halfway decent person, the second Meredith was like, hey, my son has not really spoken to me about his sexuality, so like, we don't know if he's gay, then I was kind of like, you know what, we were wrong. Like, we just all kind of assumed that he was out, but if he's not, that's not our business, you know. Like, I kind of, it slap me on the hand a little bit and I'm fine with that. Now, I'm not a parent, so I have not experienced that level of, you know, don't talk about my kid, like blindness. And obviously we've seen that across multiple shows and all of that stuff. But it really kind of put a light, and I don't think everybody saw it, but maybe it's from having a podcast myself with my spouse and like all of this kind of making it real, that like the Bravo audience needs to remember that there are people on the receiving end of these comments. That also extends to Bravo podcasters. Not just saying that because I'm here, but like, let's be honest. Yep. Like the way y'all get spoken to is out of pocket. The way these, like, I've seen, like, you know, like Lisa Rinna was like sharing screenshots where people were telling her and her daughter to go like unalive themselves. You know what I mean? Like, I never understood, especially like, because a lot of these like vitriol comments like come out of such trivial things. Like, you think that somebody should die on an operating table because you don't like that they have money and they're getting plastic surgery. So obviously I'm very much deviating from the point, but like the comments that Jen was liking, first of all, she should not have been liking those. Like, if you want to make comments saying like, oh, Brooks is annoying, like, fine, like those. But the second it's getting into like homophobia, maybe shut the fuck up. Like, you can like it in your head if you really want to be like nasty about it. But like, don't publicly co-sign all of that shit. But remember that there are other people on the other side of this. But I'm sure there's like a segment of the Bravo audience that's watching going, well, like, he is, so I don't see why that's a problem. And it's like, but that's none of our fucking business. If his mother is on television saying don't, like, she did not address the audience, honestly, as much as I wish she would have. Like, because she put on Jen, but really, it's y'all.
Like, but I think it's almost like they sign up on Housewives knowing that the audience is going to be insane. So I think it's almost like we know that the
I don't think you know, because so this is not in any way actually comparable. I'm not saying having a viral TikTok compares to like being on a reality show, but I had
Okay, let's talk about your viral TikTok for a second. So,
all right. So I got drunk one Friday. I got a little tipsy one Friday, and there was a stitch about like talk about like what's a family secret you found out when you got older, and I told this story about how my father, when he was a teenager, got his high school girlfriend pregnant, and her family was racist, so like they had to give the babies up for adoption. It was like a whole thing. And I posted that like Friday night. I woke up in the morning to like a firestorm. The reason why I bring this up is because people got so weird. People were demanding answers. Like, literally a week later, if I was posting something about salt, pepper, ketchup on a breakfast sandwich, and people were like, have you found your brothers yet? And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, absolutely not. Yeah. Like, and then I did a follow-up because, like, somebody had said, I don't know if y'all are familiar with, like, the Hodge twins. They're, like, these annoying Republican coons.
Yeah, I've seen them.
So somebody was like, wouldn't it be cool if, like, you were related to them? And I was like, absolutely fucking not. Like, and then and then it was, like, a Republican onslaught of, like, you mean you wouldn't talk to your family if they were Republican? And I was like, no. Sorry, like that's me. I'm not telling everybody to do that. I'm just saying that's me. But you know, like, it just like the weird invasive, like, tell me, like, what's your dad's name and like what high school did he go to so we could search for you. And I just was like, between that and hosting a podcast, I was telling Nora this before I were recording that like having a podcast with my spouse has been enough experience for me to never want to actually be on reality TV. Like, I joke about it, but like, I never want to, because people do see that 5 seconds and like hear that five seconds and like think that that's an indication of your whole relationship. Right. So it's all of this comes down to parasocial relationships. This is a very long-winded way of me to say all of this. But I think I just wish that Meredith had like directed some of that anger and frustration to the audience, because it wasn't just about Jen liking the tweets. It was about what was in the tweets.
Yeah. Yeah. The difference, I think, is just that, like, you can't address the audience because of the stupid, like, fourth wall or whatever. But the audience is going to do what the audience is going to do. But at least the people that I know that are technically my coworkers, at least they shouldn't be liking this stuff. At least they shouldn't be supporting this stuff. And even the stuff about, like, there's a lot of people being like, oh, but that's not homophobic. First of all, it's not for me to say whether or not it's homophobic, because I'm not gay. So I can't say that. if a gay person or somebody who is queer or somebody who hasn't had the chance to identify themselves publicly, even right. to their own family, is saying this is offensive and hurtful to me, all I need to do is shut the fuck up, and we should acknowledge that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't give a shit. Like, the thing is, y'all need, everybody needs to understand that even if the light is on and the door is open, if somebody's in the closet, that's their business.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Yeah. And I think there is, like, yeah, with the parasocial relationship thing, it's like there's this feeling of entitlement that people get, even to housewives. Yeah. Even like we have like, you know, our Instagram and our Twitter and stuff, and we'll occasionally see mm-hmm. the occasional tea and retweet it or whatever. But with accounts like Dumois and all this shit that are like constantly posting gossip about everyday little things about, like, not even celebrities, these like Bravo yeah. celebrities. Mm-hmm. Right. It's weird. It's like they already have decided to dedicate a part of their lives to a TV show where they have mm-hmm. signed a contract and Bravo comes over and they film and they allow us in. It's weird sometimes that there's such this entitlement to these reality TV stars when they're not filming anymore.
Yeah. I think that a lot of these people, when they sign up for the show, don't realize that other people are, like, they're going to be perceived outside of their own perception of themselves.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. because a lot of, but and also don't realize that, like, people are going to be viewing you through a lens of wanting to hate you. Like, even if people aren't conscious, even if audience members aren't consciously aware of that, there is a level, like, I think that was, like, I feel like one of the first things that we, like, low-key kind of bonded over, Nora, was, like, the vitriol of this audience sometimes, the bloodlust to watch these people fall. Why? Because they have money? Because they are on television? Yeah. Like, that's the extent of fine. Obviously, there's very reprehensible behavior that you want to shut down. But if somebody's just, like, not nice to your fave, or has an annoying voice, or got a plastic surgery between such and such seasons, is that, like, y'all are gonna die on this hill?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we talk about this all the time. The bloodlust that people have against Candace, as annoying as she is, the way people came for this woman, or even her fighting with her husband, they're like, I hope her husband leaves her.
Yeah.
It's like, why do you hope that for somebody? Why would you hope for that? You will never meet her. She doesn't know you.
Yeah.
Like, chill out. Now, where I will say we should be putting our attention, obviously, is somebody like Jen Shah, who is an actual criminal, we think.
Who's, like, scamming, who's allegedly, like committing wire fraud, like scamming old people out of money. Like, you know, like, that is actually a reprehensible thing.
Her aunt Nanny, who showed up and she was like, oh, let me show you two legs that she lost.
What was that? Exploitation. The exploitation does not stop at our grandparents, okay? She is exploiting her own amputee auntie. She does not care. She's like, come on TV and show them your legs. So I'm proven right.
I think it's like, take that, and then the added level of, like, she's kind of like, remember that, like, hospital smell fight from the first season? That's her. That's added an extra layer.
I didn't lie about her. She really lost two legs.
And it's so literally trotted her out. Yeah. Like, well, just like sort of just like, I'm in on the joke, you guys. Like, because I remember watching that scene going, this is how I know this show is going to be out of control. Like, you know, like, I was like, we're like in the first episode, we're getting a fight about if somebody smells like hospital and everybody's respective hospital trauma. Like, but then to, like, I don't think that Jen Shah, like, got the joke as much as she thinks that she did. Like, it was so cruel to be like, remember from last season?
She didn't get the joke. She took it to literally. Yeah. She didn't take it as a joke. But speaking of hospitals, let's go to the gift of all gifts, that is Mary Cosby.
Okay, seeing Mary's church wrapped up in saran wrap was bone chilling to me.
That felt like, you know how when we travel to India, Noor, and sometimes the luggage gets wrapped up like that? Because TSA will sometimes open it up and then they'll wrap it up in saran wrap. And then you get this big, big, bulky international suitcase wrapped in saran wrap.
Yeah.
That happens. Yeah.
I did. Okay. And then, so Mary Cosby, my God, what a gift. We find out Mary Cosby has been, she was alone for 6 months of the quarantine. Her son was home, but he doesn't talk to her because teenagers.
Are we sure she was alone or she just got lost in her closet? She was alone in her closet in the last season.
Okay. Here's the thing. I think that Mary Cosby has been alone in her house much longer than 6 months, but it was,
I mean,
at some point,
I mean,
she noticed. She was like, oh shit, I don't know when the time started, but I guess it's
she's
been
like,
6 months.
She's like, oh, I just remembered. I fired my cousin. Remember? She had a cousin who was like her bonded laborer slave. Who was
Charlinda flew the coop.
Oh my God. Like, that's
Charlinda got the fuck out.
I do think that a level of this, though, speaking of like not letting the feds in, because like everybody's like, I wonder if Mary's the one that tipped him off. Absolutely not, because then the feds would turn right back around. Like, you don't want to put that spotlight out there. But like, that's why I think we only see very limited parts of Mary's house. Like, I think some of it obviously could be like a security concern, but like some of it is like, please don't look too long here.
I think all the other rooms are filled with so much junk.
Oh, you think it's like Grey Gardens?
That there's no room for the cameramen to get in and out. And what are you going to do? You're following this one person in this huge house.
That's true.
And Robert Cosby is sitting in Miami and he's like, I'm not coming. Like, I'd rather live in Florida where the COVID rates are higher than go to Utah where the COVID rates are lower.
I don't know if the COVID, I forgot how Utah did in COVID.
So Mary has been alone and she's been talking to herself. So she thought, why not start a podcast?
Unbelievable.
The way she talked about it, I took my aloneness and I started.
She says, I can outlet real people. And I said, what does outlet real people even mean? What does that sentence mean?
So she is not a human being. Like, I just, I feel like the way she relates to people is very much like very third rock from the sun. And like, I literally wrote in my notes, Mary Cosby is an alien. And then she went on her whole, like, I've never related to human beings before.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like, ma'am,
literally doesn't trust human beings. Ma'am,
you're in the mic. Person that talks to me is God.
Hear
voices? Are you saying that you're hearing voices?
No, she's getting transmissions from that other planet. She's
like low level schizophrenia that we're dealing with here.
Now, Mary started a podcast. Okay, it's called Mary's Podcast.
Least real person I've ever seen in my life.
Okay, so first of all, she's not a real person, and that scene was so fucking fake. She's like, I'm gonna start a podcast, because it almost felt like she was like frazzled. She was like, what do people do as like housewives, like their like story arc? And I feel like somebody did a quick Google and was like, sometimes you start podcasts, and she was like, yeah, let's do that. And then she like got these two guys, the like church DJ and this other dude, together. They sat at a table for their first ever podcast recording. You guys, there's no fucking way anything got recorded. I looked it up. I tried to find her podcast. There is no podcast.
I bet they weren't even plugged in. I think it was like Mary Cosby wanting to talk to somebody.
Yeah.
And she had like, I have no one to talk to, and let me preach, and I want to talk. And let's just pretend somebody's listening. Let's just do this for my own sanity.
I feel like Mary, like, I feel like if anything, like, Mary got the idea from doing a podcast because, like, people like us were like, haha, you're hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, please start a podcast. And she was like, obviously people want to hear what I have to say. Yeah. And it's like, no, I want to hear unhinged ramblings. Like, I want to hear a manifesto.
Also, like, Mary saying that her church is closed so she can't like reach out to people, and then that's why she decided to start a podcast. Like, do we even think that the people who belong to her congregation listen to podcasts? Like, it doesn't really seem like the crowd.
Why weren't you doing on Zoom? Like,
I think she's trying to like manifest. She's trying to reach like a different audience. Like, I think that's her goal. She's like probably like, like heathens listen to podcasts. Like, let me try to minister to them. She's
Which is
doing,
why she talks about
like, colonizing. She's like, she's colonizing podcasts. Like whatever it's called. Like, she's like showing up into foreign territory and being like, you follow my religion now.
Yeah.
I feel like she's broadcasting to some village in India. Like, there's some people there that are like going to be like,
it's like wherever they send, like, you know how they make like the Super Bowl shirts and like wherever.
Yes.
Like, wherever that like doesn't, like, they have like all the wrong Super Bowl winners for all the years. Like, that's where Mary's podcast goes.
Yeah. Hey, can we get our podcast there too? Also, she just, like, her interrupting the DJ in the middle of his prayer to be like, shut up, you don't know what the fuck you're doing. Like,
let me show you how to do it. And hers was worse than his.
Like, what, like, a mom thing to do, to be like, please do this thing, and then, like, you give the task to somebody, you, like, go, like, no, never mind, I'll do it myself. Like, you're doing it. Yeah. You had very specific ideas, then you should have just started.
Okay, honestly, I had to check. I think I need to check as you were saying this. I was like, Mary sounds like a Virgo because that sounds like something I would do.
I can't. Yeah. Is she?
So many housewives are Virgos.
Well, yeah, so they're like they're like they understand the assignment, so like they'll show up.
Oh, clearly, being a housewife is a lot of work because I could never be one.
Oh yeah,
but a Noor could organize around.
Mary Cosby is a Libra.
Yeah, I was going to say I feel very as an air sign, I recognize some of that chaos.
No, Mary does admit to smoking pot, which I loved. I was like,
I can't believe it. Nothing. I'm genuinely shocked.
She doesn't know where she was and what she did when she smoked pot. She doesn't remember but she thinks
she's trying to sound relatable. They just told her it was pot, like it was a never been kissed. Like they just gave her
like it's oregano. She did.
Oh my God.
She had some Italian food and then you had pot.
Guys, I've done pot, ma'am. Those were regular herbs. Those were garden herbs.
Oh my God, what if she like somebody saged her once or saged near her and she was like, it was the fattest blunt I've ever seen.
No, that would be the more offensive thing to her. Like saging is like the devil's work, like in her mind. So no.
Now, Heather, we got to talk about Heather because Heather was like barely there in this episode, but Heather was on Watch What Happens Live, where is really where the juicy Heather stuff happened. Heather on the premiere episode is just trying to like, she knows she's on the outs with Jen, but she's also obsessed with Jen. She's into Jen's friendship juice, which hilariously Mary goes, that's not juice, that's a choice. And I was like, I don't know why I love you so much.
Yeah, Mary, you need to say this on your podcast, not what you just said.
Right, like
I was like, Mary,
you're a genius.
Yeah,
but now Heather was on Watch What Happens Live afterwards, and she said at one point that she knew that Jen Shah's businesses were unsavory, but she was her friend anyway, so it doesn't really matter to her that Jen is being charged of this stuff. She'll still be her friend.
I think that is a very Christian, hate the sin, love the sinner.
That's how I took it.
Ooh, good call.
I took it as if you were friend in fair weather, that you would also be friend when somebody's going through stuff. It's almost your obligation to be there to help them through that.
I think it's like, it's straight up programming. It's not values, it's programming.
She's not thinking about Jen's victims at that point.
No.
And if you asked her about Jen's victims, she would probably say, yes, what happened to them was terrible and they should be compensated and all of that. And what Jen did was wrong too. But she's not going to let go of Jen as a friend because she feels obligated to be there because of the way she's raised and the way she thinks about friendship.
It's possible that that's also why Lisa is friends with Jen.
That's true.
For that same sort of reason. That same.
I don't know. Ever since you said that, like, I'm trying to be cool with, like, people of color. I'm trying to have, like, a rainbow coalition of friends. Like, that's all I see now. Like, that's, like, I think that Heather's is so much more grounded in, like, Mormon values of just, like, it doesn't matter if they do wrong. We stand by them anyway. And, like, we pity them. And, like, I get all of that. But, like,
I know. And then Heather said at one point, because Mia was on. And Mia looked fucking amazing.
Are we going to talk about Mia's very expensive purchase? Because I have literally not been able to stop thinking about it since last night. Like that whole, because I caught the very end. I just watched like the game with Mia. Like that was all I saw on Watch What Happens Live. Mia said the most expensive thing she ever bought, she paid for an Audi in cash, $118,000. And Andy deadpan looked at the camera and was like, well, that's very Teresa Giudice of you. And I was like, that man knows that there's going to be like you could see it in his mind, like going, fuck, like another one. Literally, I would not be shocked if I'm sure the IRS literally has a Bravo task force at this point. I would not be shocked. They get to sit around and just inventory all of this bullshit.
If our listening audience, whoever is working at the IRS and has been tasked with Real Housewives, probably lives in the DMV area.
Probably.
I just want you to reach out to me. I'm here. We can meet for coffee. I just wanted to know.
They're going
to
be like deep throat. I just wanted to know some details of
how
connect?
Big the task force is. And if I can volunteer on weekends. I can do some analysis.
Yeah, if you want us to watch shows and itemize things for you, we can do that. We could do some research.
And if you want some,
y'all been doing it for free.
Yeah. some historical data. If you're looking for something and you don't know which episode to look in, we can tell you which season and episode to look into. And if you wanted to build a case, we can tell you what the precedence is and who else you should be going after.
Right.
We can do all of that.
Yeah, exactly. Mia was on, and Mia apparently admitted that she was arrested. She served time in juvie for Grand Theft Auto. Heather high fives her, and Andy goes, "Are you high fiving her? That's a crime." And then Heather goes, "Well, I guess I'm a fan of criminals." And Andy goes, "You're a fan of criminals?" And she goes,
"Oh, I think that's right. Well, when I tuned in, I remember this."
Yeah. And then she's like, "Well, I mean, I don't like the big guy," like basically trying to turn it into like power for the people and like, you know, ACAB. But I was like, no, Heather, no. Don't say I'm a fan of criminals after you tell everybody that you know that Jen Shah had unsavory businesses and you will support her anyway.
I feel like it was almost like Heather. I tried to ask her over the years how she made it, because I am interested in business and I want to make money, but I didn't quite understand it. And I thought it was on the border of legality. It was on right on the line and nothing that I would be interested in doing. But it almost felt like Heather looked into it and couldn't quite understand.
Yeah. Oh, she said
and
that.
So she did not go down that path. It's like,
I also feel like maybe Heather is like, she also borders on the edge of like, she seems like somebody who would ask enough questions so she can catch somebody in a lie because she like wants the tea. But also seems like somebody who would get herself in so deep that she wouldn't know how to detach herself from this, like, very problematic, toxic person.
I feel like y'all are giving her way too much credit. and that's not shade to Heather. Like, I think that, like, Teresa was kind of the blueprint, right? In that, like, I associate with the people I associate with because I don't want to have to think about it. Like, that's kind of how I felt about Erica for a long time. Like, I like very much the same way as Teresa. Like, you don't marry a man like that if you want to be like thinking about your finances. Like, you don't have friends like Jen Shah. Like, you get to like go to the cool Vegas parties and do all of that stuff, but you're not like actually interested in what she does for a living, especially if you don't, like, why would you have to understand a single bit more of that shit than you had to, even if she wasn't doing anything illegal?
Unless you wanted to also be part of that business.
I don't think so.
Unless, because, see, people in Utah are very used to that MLM kind of deal.
Yeah, right? So for sure.
This is my theory, that if you hear of somebody making money, then you ask, how did you make it? And then you rope in other people to do that. And that's the kind of business that Heather is used to. So she's trying to, she's coming out of her divorce, and she's looking at what business ideas to follow. She could have gone to Jen and asked, hey, what did you do and how do you do this business, how can I be part of it? But she didn't quite get it.
I think Heather wants to be cool by association to a quote-unquote like bad bitch.
That's 100% what this is absolutely going to be this season's turn, because like I feel like she kind of, unlike a lot of the other housewives in this franchise, did the thing that we see in a lot of other franchises, which is like now she's like aware of the fact that she's on television. She's like aware of the fact that like she's going to be a real housewife, especially considering she came out of the first season very well liked. I feel like she internalized a lot of that fame, and it's going to bite her in the butt. So what is the deal with the racism, by the way? What is Heather a racist for?
Heather gives racist vibes because of the way that she behaved at the reunion, but also because Heather fetishizes black men.
Yeah,
but that's what she did the entire first season, where she was like, I'm not a regular Mormon. I'm a cool Mormon. I like to fuck black guys. And it was like, okay. And she was like, you know, I knew that I was different because I liked hip hop music. And I was like, that's what? Like, okay.
Yeah. Like, well, it was, I don't just know. Very... I was expecting more, like, I mean, yeah, that's like just run of the mill racism. Like, just I was expecting more of a smoking gun than that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm ready to hear it.
That's eat, pray, love kind of.
Right.
Like, that's like the kind of, that's like the kind of casual racism you see in like New Jersey amongst white people. Yeah. It's like you go down to the Jersey Shore and like that's people. What you get.
Like the amount of people, like, especially being mixed and having a black dad, the amount of people that either felt comfortable saying to me, like, oh, I'm really into black guys, or people being like, I would never be allowed to bring a black guy home. It's like, I am really the wrong audience for this, for like a variety of reasons. Please don't tell me that. That's inappropriate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, guys, I think that's it for this stuff. Sonia, this is such a fun chat.
Oh my gosh, so much fun.
I had an absolute freaking blast. Please tell everybody where they can find you if you'd like to be found.
Yeah, sure. So you can find me on Twitter at Sonia Marie Says, S-A-Y-S. And you can find me on TikTok at No Chillery Banks. Like Hillary Banks from, just to explain, because people don't get it. Hillary Banks. Like,
I didn't get it.
That's okay.
I asked Noor. I was like, and then she's like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Okay.
Yeah. And on my TikTok, I've started doing a series where I make my husband guess Real Housewives husband's names.
I love it.
He does pretty well, so honestly. Like, I'm really impressed.
Yeah, he does really, really well. Are you still doing, you're not doing your podcast
anymore? I'm not, for the aforementioned reasons, but also just life. But I was doing a podcast for a while about the 2000s VH1 reality shows. Mm-hmm.
So good.
You know what's funny about those is, like, I came into it like really bright-eyed, like, oh, this brought me so much fun in my youth. It is not as fun to watch back as you think, especially if you were like a halfway, if you have grown even a little bit as a person watching those men go after girls now younger than me. It's gross.
Yeah. Well, this has been so much fun. We will talk to you guys on Saturday about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and we're really excited because we're gonna have the Bravo Docket girls on. Okay, everybody say bye. The Reality is now on Patreon, and here are some of our fabulous supporters.
Tracy Newman.
My presence is a gift, so remember the thank you note.
Lily.
Some people say I'm too much, but she is just starting.
Marl Farsi.
Reading is fundamental, and in Farsi, the reads are monumental.
Tracy Masters.
When you're the master of your own destiny, no one can take you down.
Amanda Agosti.
Some Amandas are tech spots, but this Amanda is as real as it gets.
Ade Adedokun.
It may look like I'm stirring the pot, but actually I'm just smoking it.
Paula Betrude.
If you think I'm a bitch, you're probably right, and you probably deserved it.
Lola Del Rio.
Whatever Lola wants, Lola gets, and I get it all.
Naveen Jonathan.
I'll give you the shirt off my back and also my unsolicited opinion.
Jada.
People are intimidated by my great success and my great ass.
Deepa Kanapoli.
Some people say I have secrets, but at least I have no federal indictments.
And finally,
Hadil Ibrahim. Some things are too hot to handle, like me and the tea I spill.